It's Mail It In Friday.
I'm called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Boy, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Maple Leafs back in action tonight. They're in Detroit taking on the Red Wings. You can watch that game on TSN 4. Raptors back home taking on Brooklyn. Nick Stauskas, he has not played yet for the Nets, but maybe he makes his first appearance tonight at home in Toronto against the Raptors. I don't know what Nabil's up to, but Nabil, will Nabauskas connect tonight down at the ACC?
For sure. Nabil, I wonder if Nabil could sit on the bench with them.
Not with a new team.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Stauskas has to ease his way in there.
I would 100% guarantee they went out last night.
Oh, for sure.
Dinner.
Well, actually,
Brooklyn played last night, though.
And
they didn't go out.
I worked with Nabil last night. So, no, Nabil didn't go out.
Probably shoot around today.
Nabil was a pro last night.
All right.
Apparently, well, anyway. Nabil was a pro the day after the blue party.
Yeah, well, Sunday's like...
Sunday, he was here at what? 10 a.m.?
10 a.m., 11 a.m. He's there for all of the NFL coverage on TSN every Sunday.
And he was a grit grinder at Natasha's party.
Well, because he had gone to the TFC game. And the
really?
TFC
That's what
game,
it was?
Well, TFC game had gotten the best of a lot of people.
Every fan that was in attendance had a very good time. Good time.
Exactly.
And last weekend was a big sports weekend. This weekend is going to be equally as large. I mean, in the NFL, you got Steelers taking on the Patriots. And that's a 4:25 start. Two of the best teams in the NFL, the two best teams in the AFC. It's going to be a great game this upcoming weekend. Raptors in action again tonight. Vince Carter and the Kings are in town on Sunday. And again, the Leafs are playing tonight, and they're looking for redemption because they dropped that game last night in Minnesota, and it wasn't much of a game. There really wasn't anything to it.
An ugly game.
There's been too many of those, this year, and league-wide, just too many games that just happen. There's no animosity, no emotion, no great plays, nothing.
Really talking about the schedule, and not just teams that have struggled, but if you look at some of the travel that teams have, even you look at it, I think Edmonton's been out to the East Coast a couple times already.
Well, they got smoked again last night.
Yeah, they shouldn't have. That was it was the McElhinney situation. The problem is you can't have moral victories right now because they're too far out, but... They deserved to win last night. Nashville wasn't even in the game. They got outshot 22-4 in the first period, and it was 0-0.
4-0, though, by the end of the night.
Yeah. Well, that's...
I hear you. The details are what they are, but 4-0, it's like, okay, what happened? After the first period, did you pack up your bags?
They ended up with 46 shots. They were the better team. I actually thought, and I don't know if you go back and look at it, the first goal against, which ended up being the winning goal, was a high stick. And they reviewed it, and it was really close. But I thought it was close.
Ty should go to a good goal, though. I mean, I think that should always be the case.
When you're looking at the league and
stuff,
it's close. You're right. It was close, but I thought it was a bit over. But
last night, the Leafs could have used that. I mean, they really, there was nothing to it. And it's not like Minnesota had incredible opportunities either. And Babcock was talking up the game afterwards as if it was almost a Picasso. They played really well and they had their opportunities. And I guess that's either coach speak, trying to hook up his guys, knowing that Matthews is not available to them. Right. And we don't believe he'll be playing again tonight. And they've run into a bit of a skid. But I think Babcock, he wants to see more games like that. Clearly, he'd like to see a different result. He wants to see them win those type of games.
Right.
But I think he would walk out of a game like that and say, Minnesota didn't have a ton of opportunities.
No.
The Leafs outshot the Wild last night, and that has been a rarity recently.
What a game.
But you will take, what he's trying to do is find a balance between them knowing how to defend and play tight games because they haven't been a very good defending team.
You always got to go back to
having
those
running guns.
What he does with that Olympic team or the summer team.
And here's for the people saying just let them run wild and that. Guess what happens to teams like that in the playoffs? they get rinsed.
Well, and that's
they
the
don't
truth.
Know how to defend.
They, I mean, there has to be a middle ground
exactly.
because they do have enough talent. They do have enough running gun ability
but,
to put up goals and to be an offensive juggernaut. You don't want to completely strip that down.
They do have talent, but like I say, if you're is Mitch Marner or William Nylander running wild? Are you worried like they're playing a safe game? I just don't think they're playing well. Like I don't think it's playing safe. Like William Nylander had an opportunity to drive middle ice last night. What did he do? Stop up looking for something. Like, go to the middle ice. You're not getting hurt in today's game. Nobody's slashing you down because you draw penalties. Like, I can see why Babcock gets pissed at these guys because the consistency of their game from shift to shift is one shift they're great, one shift they try and do too much or don't make a real logical play, and it ends up going the other way. There is a fine line. Kadri went through it. How many times did Kadri, early in his career, he wanted to paint a picture every shift? And the minute he started to get that, to know where to go and know where to be on the ice, he became a really good player. Those guys have the ability, but you, Brian, you were saying it earlier. They've had opportunity to grab this team and really show what they're capable of in the absence of Austin, and they haven't yet.
No,
tonight could be the night.
It might be the night, but it's an interesting question. Like I can't think of a forward that has really stood out over these 8 games that Matthews hasn't played in, or 7 games.
Like statistically, or just played very well?
Just so well each and every night where they took that opportunity, because when he's in the lineup, he's going to be the focal point. Yeah,
I think Marlowe's been good, but outside of that, like,
Marlowe's just constantly
very consistent.
But it's not like he's elevated to the point where you're like, wow, look at this. This is unbelievable. He's just played the same way.
Yeah,
if Matthews is in the lineup or out of the lineup.
Yep.
Leafs Wings tonight in Detroit on TSN 4. He's going to call the game for TSN. Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Am I missing someone? Is there a forward that you've seen over these 7 games without Matthews that's really elevated their game?
No. You know, I kind of laughed when you remember when he was hurt the first time and you said if the Leafs go in the tank, it makes Matthews more of an MVP candidate. And then they won the first couple of games and you're like, yeah, ha-ha to you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, they look like a lot of other teams without him there, don't they?
Yeah,
like that's not just taking a centerman out of the lineup. That's taking one of the game's better players, like one of the league's better players out of the lineup. And how would you replace that? I would say he's elevated. Like last week, I thought Hyman was terrific again. But he does the same thing all the time. He's not going to elevate the other guys around him. But I have, you know, as for the guys that could, I think the guys were, when I got on, I was probably talking about Marner and Nylander, they certainly haven't.
No, they haven't. I mean, Nylander played a lot last night. He played almost 20 minutes, I think, if not 20 minutes. But I guess, you know, stats do change the conversation.
Right.
Right? Like, if they got a couple of lucky bounces here or there, you might be like, oh, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, they really are elevating their game. But I look at, like, Marner last night had a couple of opportunities. In the third period, there was on the same shift, and it was like a 2-on-1. He could have kind of driven to the net, and he tried to do like a 360 spinorama pass that totally went awry.
Yep.
And then he left the zone, picked it back up, and came back in and just skated into the corner and like threw it behind the net. Like, they just don't seem to have any mojo right now. Like, Marner last night anywhere, that's what I witnessed. He just didn't have any mojo to his game.
None of them do.
The tricks he was trying to pull off just weren't working. And if they don't, you look silly.
And so, you know, after the game, Babcock comes out and he says, you know, I think we're playing pretty well, feel pretty good about ourselves. You know, I don't know why we'd be squeezing our sticks. And, you know, that to me had the smell of, you know, a guy trying to keep the tires full. Because they haven't played very well. I don't know how you could think, or you know, how he could really think they are. They won games that they didn't play particularly well. Now they, you know, and I looked it up today, got some help with it, but so in October and November, they were over 3.5 goals a game, and they were 17-9. And in January, or December rather, they're 1.5 goals a game. So he's curious why guys are squeezing their stick. Well, when guys that are supposed to score don't score, it doesn't matter what else is happening. they start to squeeze their stick. It's uncomfortable. You know you're not doing your job. And that, to your point about not having any mojo, they didn't even generate anything until the third period. Hell, what did they have? 6 shots at 31 minutes last night. 3 of them were on that first power play. Like they got nothing done.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Babcock, I'm with you. I think he realizes his team is not where it used to be or where it could be, and teams go up and down, and this team has had that all year. They've had inconsistencies. They started 6-1, then they lost 5 of 6 in regulation, then they won 6 in a row, and now they're kind of back into a bit of a tailspin here. But I do think on the flip side of it, it's not like Minnesota had unbelievable opportunities. No. Like, I think Babcock would walk away from that game and say, yeah, clearly we need to generate more. Obviously, I want to win, and you have to score to do that. But I think the coach in him probably liked their effort defensively last night because Minnesota didn't really do anything either.
Yeah.
No, there was large stretches of that that there didn't look like anybody was ever going to get another shot.
No.
let alone a goal. I mean, it was just kind of...
Ray, again, let's be thankful we didn't do the game.
Yes. Just watching it was enough, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, but how do you change it? Like, on each line, there seems to be somebody not close on it. And so then you're...
All right,
that's enough.
That's enough. It's been a long run. We haven't had one of those in quite some time.
You've had a good run.
We actually had a great run, a very quality cell reception, but that was enough.
Well, you can tell he's in a dirty tunnel in Detroit somewhere.
That new rink, though, it seems like it's pretty nice.
No one goes. Nobody shows up for the Red Wing games.
They never get chirped either. A lot of times, like Jay and Dan or SportsCenter, they'll pan the crowd in Florida. Where else they pan it? Carolina, Arizona.
Hockey town looks like a bit of a ghost town right now.
It does.
They're in trouble, man.
But isn't that amazing? You go to the playoffs every year for 25 years. You win all those cups, and you miss once, and people are like, nah.
Well,
more of a Lions fan now. I'm into the Tigers
but
or
you have to look at
Wolverines.
The economy there is...
The economy factors.
You can only look at one thing. It's the star power they had there for so many years. Nick Lidstrom was there for 20 years. Stevie Yzerman for 20. It's like...
Okay, but you were spoiled for that long.
Yeah, they were spoiled.
Okay, like, are you going to sit in your couch and say, I want to wheel down there and watch Athanasiou play?
Listen, man.
It's actually a pretty good
I've lived
player.
In Toronto.
I get it, but
it's
getting you
life.
Off your couch.
No, I know what you mean. I just... They are in a transition. That's the Red Wings. Ken Holland came out this morning. I think he was on Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he was.
And said that in the next 10 or 15 games, we're going to see what our team is.
Well, we got Ray back, I think. You there, Ray?
I am. I'm just watching Al Sobotka drive the Zamboni around the new rink.
Oh, so you're inside
Same
the
Zamboni,
rink.
Same Zamboni, new rink.
Is that the guy that grabs the octopus?
That's him.
Don't shake his hand.
No, I won't. That's a good point. I'm standing on the Red Wings bench, actually.
So, well, we were talking about how no one shows up at these games, and I mean, you talk about a spoiled fan base.
Yeah, I got a little insight into that today. I got a tour of the building. So, the lower bowl, you know, like when the Leafs weren't very good, and the start of period, there was nobody in the seats. Because everybody was underneath in their little sweet cubby holes there, eating and having some beers and stuff, right? Now, it doesn't look like that because the team is better and they get back out for the start of period and whatever else they've done to help encourage the people to get out of the suites to get back to the stands. Well, the tickets here right in the low area, you walk up, I'm looking at it right now. There's like about 12 rows that are connected to this club that goes underneath. It's an enormous restaurant under there. It's awesome. You should see the wine on the wall. Like, it's an amazing place. The next section, they've got another restaurant that they can go into. It's got couches and TVs and more food and more booze. And the team's not exciting. So people come and they're like, you know what, for my $300 ticket or my $125 ticket, I'm going to get my money's worth. And so they go eat dinner and have a glass of wine and a couple beers, and then they come out and the period's half over. And so O's right. They, I think anyway, they are spoiled. They've been spoiled. And now you got to find another star. Well, last year was their first top 10 pick in 10 years or in 20 years. And they drafted ninth. The only way you can get a star is to draft first or second. And they've not been in that spot for 25 years. So it becomes pretty hard. And so there's people here that are saying, well, why don't they tank? Well, because you could tank and end up drafting fourth or fifth, which has happened to Vancouver the last couple of years.
Well, I would argue
there's no guarantee, right?
They're tanking just naturally. They're just not any good. They don't want to tank like Vancouver. Vancouver and
right.
The Leafs.
But you can play and you're just tanking. You're not doing what Buffalo did a couple years ago.
Well, exactly.
Right? But you eventually draft 25th all the time, and a couple of those guys don't hit. They don't come to the NHL. Now you got no players, and you're trying to fill in around the edges of the roster and hope that Dylan Larkin and Andreas Anfenisiou and Anthony Mantha, and you hope that those guys become really good players for you.
Well, if they end up selling, who on that team would you even be wanting? Like, who would you be going for?
I don't know. Noodles is going to say no guy. Original segment, yes guy, no guy. That Peter Mrazek, I would take a sniff around him.
Well,
if I'm Florida or some team that's looking for goaltending help.
He's certainly an upgrade on what's been floating around out there. Like,
you just take a shot at it.
But the thing is, and Ray, you could chime in on it, the knock on or the book on Mrazek is there's some raw skill, but he's got
an attitude
and a cockiness to him that he hasn't backed up.
You never know, though. Sometimes you just tell a guy, you're our number one, you're our go-to guy, and they just start believing it.
Somebody will grab him because he's making too much money this year. And they're probably not going to qualify him, so he'll be a free agent this summer.
Right. So here are the guys, I think. You got Mrazek in goal. I think they'll move him over the course of the year. Jimmy Howard's playing all the games anyway. You got Mike Green on defense. I think a good team will take you're not going to get a whole lot of return back, but I think somebody will take Mike Green. He had 14 goals last year. Maybe they move either, you know, somebody like Tatar or Nyquist, that brings you back a little more return. Like, it's just what you say. Even they can say they're not rebuilding, but of course they are. You know, like, of course they are. That's really the only way you get from this position to a better one is you have to rebuild what you have.
Ray, speaking wildly, but if you were the Leafs, would you sniff around Mike Green?
He's such a wild card. He always has been.
I don't think he defends very well at all.
So you have to balance. What am I getting there with what he can give us moving the puck and running the power play? Because he can still run a power play. And he can still jump into the rush, and he can still be a really dangerous guy. You have to balance or try to understand in your head, is he more dangerous up the ice, or is he more dangerous near your own net?
Well, ask...
But, I mean, look at their defense. Like, I'm watching Zaitsev play, and, man, he never breaks a cycle. Like, they start cycling the puck on him and Gardner, and it just
continues until
they lose the puck. I'm sorry?
None of them do. They don't break cycles. They're not physical. They're stick on stick. They want to push with their hand. And
well, does Nicholas Cronwall have anything left?
No.
I think the legs are...
You wouldn't touch that?
I like him. I just think that there's so much mileage on him that...
And he's got a year left after this,
yeah,
I believe,
that's,
on his team.
But Green's a pending unrestricted free agent. I just think he's a wild card. Like, you want to see how he defends. Watch that Marchand overtime goal the other night.
Yeah.
And you can see how it goes.
You know, The Wings have lost six games in overtime. They're 0-6. And I think Boston's in third in the Atlantic. They got 35 points. So if they tell themselves here, if you have won half of them, you're only 3 points behind Boston. So that's how I think that's how the coaches keep selling to compete and to, look, you know, we're close. We've played well, but we don't win. You know, we're kind of in that mindset. But They're not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. So I think there'll come a time, as you mentioned, Ken said on Leaf Lunch, there'll come a time when they go, okay, now's the time to start moving some guys. And to me, it's either Tatar or Nyquist. It's Mrazek. It's Green. Maybe it's Jonathan Erickson, who would be a third pair defenseman somewhere and be and probably do a pretty good job for them.
And I like that guy.
For whoever would acquire him. Yeah, he's big and he leans on you, and if you're not playing him 20 minutes a night, I think he would be a good pickup for somebody. But again, if you're Detroit, you've already got 11 draft picks this year. Like, what are you going to have, 17? Like, you need a player back at some point, don't you? Like, somebody that's a little younger, that's got years left under team control. And you can just see when you look at it, you go, man, I can see what they should do, but how do you do it? Because you got to get somebody else to trade with you. You got to get somebody else to give you a player. You got to fit it under the cap. You want a number one center? Great. Go draft one, or else you're not getting them. You want a number one D? You better win the lottery, because Dahlin's not going to be there at two.
Well, I guess Babcock just spoke with the media, and to no one's surprise, Matthews is out again tonight. So it makes you wonder, like, how is he possibly a game time decision
last for Tuesday,
Sunday against the Oilers? Yeah, game time. We'll see. No, not game time. You knew he wasn't playing. And I think they know what's going on. They know how close he is. But I guess Kapanen is in for Levo tonight. And McElhinney's going to start. And I thought Levo had some chances last night. But
I'm with you, Brian. Maybe I'm seeing something that's not there.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, that kid can absorb a check on the forecheck. He holds the puck. He makes a good play. He's around the net. And out he goes again. But before I got cut off before, I'm like, eventually, don't they just have to look and go, wait a minute, we got three goals and about 17 minutes a night from Leo Komarov.
He played 19 minutes last night, right? 19. He's got
20 in Pittsburgh.
Right. And I saw a bunch of people were tweeting about him today, and I think he's got like one even strength point all year. One.
And
that's
so,
not good.
And like, I don't buy the balance there that, oh, he does a good job checking. And yes, he does. I get that. But right now, he's checking Kadri.
Right.
Because do you remember, you'd have a guy in your line, you're like, oh, man, like, something, please, anything. Because maybe sometimes we were that guy. I know I was. They were probably looking at me and going, the hell, could you help out here sooner or later?
Like something, chip in an assist.
Like, just anything. How about a pass? Like, Komarov works hard. He does his thing, but nothing happens.
No.
And so, you've got Nylander plays 20 minutes with Kadri last night. That's great. But it's really tough to, like, I remember Komarov at his best, keeping the cycle going, holding the forecheck, getting in and being aggressive. He doesn't or can't do that right now.
Drawing penalties. He never draws penalties. Like, you got to have the puck. You got to be in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, you got to hit somebody. You can't even throw hits because he doesn't get there quick enough. He's been really ineffective.
So I wonder if don't you think there's a time where, maybe Komarov becomes the guy that plays with, in my world, plays with Martin and Moore. And you use him to penalty kill, and he plays 10 or 11 minutes, and he can give you a more energetic 10 or 11 minutes or 12 minutes than trying to stretch it out for 16, 17, 18 minutes.
Yep.
Like, maybe it becomes that. I'll tell you, though, for Kapanen here, he's going to get a chance, and he's got to try and run through the door with this a little bit here. There's a little – things aren't going so smoothly, even though, the points have been there. But there's an opportunity here for him again, and he seems to – he seems to have outgrown the American League a little bit. That seems to be the report when he's there. So now he's got a chance, and he's got to try and grab the ring a little bit tonight.
Leafs wings on TSN 4 tonight. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 7. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it tonight, and we'll catch up Monday at 5 p.m.
I'd like to put a vote in for Frank Saravelli, please.
Yes.
What is up with that?
Is he the runaway winner?
Of what? The guy who looks the oldest yet is somehow the youngest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he the winner?
It has to be. He's 29. Wow. He's in his 20s.
But Leo Routens is the other way.
Right.
Leo Routens is close to 60, and he looks like he's 40, and he's got the body of a 20-year-old.
Yeah, Leo's like...
I wouldn't guess that. No way.
O said he saw him jogging on the lakeshore with no tarp on. He said he was embarrassed to go say hello.
Yeah, because I was like fat and sweaty. I had a full sweatshirt on. And
Leo's got no tarp on, just jacked.
He's like 57 years old, I think.
Wow.
And Leo.
Last year we were at the World Junior in Montreal, and somehow we got into a conversation, and I think it was Tessa said, yeah, Frank's 28. I'm like, oh, shut up. And she pulled it up, and I'm like, are you kidding? I've got a son that's 29.
Right.
I'm like, are you serious?
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm 5 years older than Frank. It's not possible. I need an update on that. I need to see a birth certificate. I'm a truther now. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Anyway.
Frank must love this conversation. Oh,
he'll be listening to this podcast over and over again with a smile on his face, I'm sure. Anyway, enjoy it tonight.
We'll talk to you later. I'm just trying to stay out of the way now. Ken Daniels is shooting an award-winning video, I think, here or something. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but
all right.
I'm now in the middle of his video. I got to get out of here. Too.
Say hi to Kenny for us.
Yeah, we love Ken.
We will do that.
All right,
he's
buddy.
An awesome guy. We'll say hi.
There he is. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. We believe Bruce Boudreau will join us in about an hour. We've got a Friday five-pack to get to in the 6 p.m. hour. Marcellus Wiley in about 20 minutes on the biggest game of the year. Pittsburgh at home against New England. And what was LeBron saying to Lonzo Ball postgame? We'll tell you next. All right, Marcellus Wiley later in the hour. You see LeBron James and Lonzo Ball after the game last night? Like, covering
shirts
their mouths.
Up.
Like, I love LeBron. I'm an apologist for LeBron. He's such a drama king.
Yeah, he is.
He's such a drama, like,
yeah,
he's
like,
so dramatic.
Why do you want to stir the pot like that? The whole news world was just, what were they saying?
Why wouldn't
he
they
loves
just
it.
Talk, like, down the alley?
Exactly. Hey.
You're like, hey, I'll see you in 2 minutes. Meet me out back.
High five, good game. Like everyone else does, I'll see you out back.
But you know what it is? It's the Kyle Lowry. Remember Kyle Lowry after a game was sitting there shooting buckets at like 1 o'clock in the morning or in front of the media when they've got baskets everywhere.
Right. That's a hero move. This is a dramatic move.
But
like this
still,
is
it's still like, hey, look at me.
Of course it is. But this is all about he wants all of the attention to be on him and where he's playing next year. And this is about people trying to connect dots that may or may not be there.
Right.
And him loving Lonzo Ball, so that means he's going to leave Cleveland again and go to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how he knows Lonzo Ball. Like, Lonzo Ball grew up in L.A. He played for UCLA. He's been in the league for 25 games. I don't even know how LeBron knows him.
Probably just knows him to say hello. Like, hey. Look.
But he speaks of him as if he grew up with him. How great of a player he is, how humble he is, what he's got to do with his career. It's like he's his
maybe,
advisor or his mentor.
Maybe they've done an event together or something that we don't know.
Well, what he's stirring speculation with is people are like, oh, this guy's just pumping his tires because you know why.
Well, exactly. We're going to go to L.A. But then if you ask LeBron, he's like, I'm only committed to the Cleveland Cavaliers right now. I just want to win a title. I'll figure that out. But he loves it. He loves it. He knew that
he likes attention.
He knew people were going to be all over that. He knew the cameras were on him.
Check his Instagram account. This guy, like, I love LeBron. I like the fact that he interacts with his fans and does. He sings on Instagram. I think it's hilarious because I want to see his real personality.
He generally opens up the curtain as much as you can expect.
I really think that's terrific because you don't see much from high-end athletes like that.
And he's been very outspoken, advocate of different social issues, pushing different causes. Listen, I love LeBron. I'm not a guy who takes runs at him for the sake of taking runs at him.
Right.
I am a LeBron apologist more often than not. But one thing I cannot defend him on is the drama that he loves.
Yeah,
he loves spicing up drama. He loves, you know, putting out an Instagram picture of, you know, suggesting that he's rattled about something and then coming out passive aggressively and being like, oh, no, that was just me messing around. It's
Are you shocked, though, that some of the most famous athletes in the world, and you saw it with Kevin Durant, like having a secondary Instagram account or Twitter account, getting in, like, we're not even famous. We're sports guys that talk on the radio and we don't need any extra drama. And some of the most famous people in the world are causing this garbage. Why would you need that?
They crave it. That's the amazing thing. Like, LeBron could not get any more attention.
Yeah, that's true.
He could not get more attention. He could not be talked about
anymore. We're on the radio every day and on TV for an hour every day. That's enough for all of us.
That's true.
We don't need any more garbage.
Right. And the thing is with LeBron, every once in a while he will come out and be like, he'll go on a rant about how he's mistreated or, you know, people are putting words in his mouth or people are making too much of his actions. And it's like, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been the king for over a decade. Mm-hmm. And yet you pull that stunt last night. You've never done that before with anyone.
Ever.
Shirt over the mouth, like, let's cryptically speak about something. And it's Lonzo Ball. Like, if that was any other player, you may not pay attention, but everyone's focused on Lonzo.
I like that it's Lonzo and not the dad. Can you imagine if he saddled up with the dad?
Well, some people think that's why he did it, so that the idiot dad isn't going to get involved. And, you know, because Lonzo came out after the game and said, oh, you wouldn't believe it if you didn't see it live, how great LeBron is. He's the greatest player on the planet. He was very complimentary. And I could see LeVar coming out and being like, don't ever say that. You're better than him.
Yeah,
you're the greatest player on the planet.
Yeah, LeVar being a lunatic.
We'll head out to L.A. next, catch up with Marcellus Wiley, get his take on if they actually believe in L.A. that LeBron is coming, that he's going to sign with the Lakers this offseason. And who does he have this weekend? Pats, Steelers, if he could pick one offensive weapon, who would he take? Gronkowski or Antonio Brown? And what's he expecting out of Aaron Rodgers in his return? That and more with Marcellus Wiley next. All right, Bruce Boudreau, we believe, will join us in about a half an hour. Friday five-pack in the 6 p.m. hour. TSN's got their top 25 NHL players of all time up online, tsn.ca, commemorating the 100th anniversary of the league. Didn't do with the typical top 100. They just stuck with the top 25, and we're going to put a bit of a spin on that based on current players. So we'll tell you more about that in the next hour. Leafs back in action tonight. Raptors in action. Brooklyn's in town. But it's all about the NFL this weekend, on Sunday afternoon anyway. It's all about Pats, Steelers, Aaron Rodgers' return at Carolina, the Bills with a big game this weekend, Miami in town, in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to putting in a shift on
Sunday.
Another
element of the Steelers game, Antonio Brown, a possible MVP candidate as a wide receiver, been tossed around.
First time in NFL history if he were to win. I don't think he will, though.
I love the way they went to Ben Roethlisberger and asked him that. Like, what's he supposed to say? Hell no.
It's usually quarterbacks, right? Like, mm-hmm. who gets MVP every year?
It's generally quarterbacks. Sometimes it's a great defensive player.
Or running back? Is there ever a running back?
I don't know if there's ever been a running
back.
There's
had to have been.
I would think Jim Brown won an MVP. O.J. Simpson, I think, did, actually, when he ran for over 2,000 yards. I'll bet you OJ won MVP.
Where do you think that guy is today in this world? Because he's free.
You know what? I'm surprised. I thought he would be looking to get into reality TV or a book deal or something.
I think he's just hiding. Like, somebody must have said, go away for a couple years and you can get some money.
Forever.
Back. I know.
Forever.
He should go. I mean, he should be in jail or he should have been given the death penalty.
He's got to Andy Dufresne it and go fix a boat.
He's not young. He's 70-something now.
Well, either way, he's a bad person.
Yeah, listen, I don't have any time for him personally, but I have said many times I find his whole story fascinating. Like, I think there's still more there that I would like to find out about and I'm interested in. And
About
O.J., just about his whole story and what was he doing in jail and what's he doing now. Like, just because of how much he has been such a public figure for so long.
And I think he craves it, too. Like, he craved a lot of attention. Like, who writes a book, If I Did It?
Still
what
unbelievable.
An idiot.
If I did it, this is how I would do it, or
what
something like that?
What an awful person. Like, I couldn't imagine what the families, like, think of that guy. Like, it's sickening to think of him.
Hunt pointing out that Adrian Peterson won MVP at one point. So there's a running back.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually it's either great
Barry
defensive
Sanders
players.
Never went
I was waiting for like a Tony Dorsett.
No, I don't know. I mean,
Dude, Barry Sanders was sick.
But he always played on bad teams.
Who cares,
or average
man.
Teams.
Was it Houston that had that running back? Was it Earl Campbell?
Yeah, Earl
Campbell.
His
legs were like 34 inches.
Oh, yeah. Beast. Beast mode. Yeah. Well, Eric Dickerson ran for over 2,000. Look that up, Hunt, yeah. And find out how many running backs have won MVP.
That Earl Campbell, when I played in Houston, our trainer had worked for the football team, so he would tell us stories. But he said the guy's thighs were ridiculous.
Well, NFL players are on a different level.
They're beasts.
They're on a different level. Like, we were talking about this earlier. In Ndamukong Suh,
yeah,
like, that dude is 6'5", 290, can run a 40 in under 5 seconds.
And wants to kill you.
Mean, hates people, yeah. Dirty. Like, imagine that guy chasing you. Like, you're out of,
like, with a hate on.
With a hate on. Like, you're outside of the pocket, and you know you got to make a play.
Yeah.
And you realize that Sue is this hot is, on your tail.
This guy's on you.
Well, we're trying to catch up with Marcellus Wiley. I don't know what's going on, but Marcellus was a pass rusher himself.
Yeah.
Like, Marcellus is not...
He wasn't exactly fun times either.
No. He wasn't a tiny individual. No. Marcellus would get after you. And, like, in the old school,
and
mean
take
guys.
Take some liberties, too. Like, that's the thing.
Like, Dick Butkus. you hear stories about Dick Butkus.
Yes.
Which is really the greatest handle in the history of sports. Dick Butkus. Like, he would be saying things that were so obscene to the quarterback. Like, I'm actually going to kill you and then
your family,
spit on you and then kill on you. Like, and he'd bite people, allegedly.
Could you imagine, like...
There is all kinds of that nonsense.
An individual,
like grabbing guys' nuts and pulling their balls and
like in a
them.
In a scrum, like or in a.
Well, we have to ask Marcellus if we get him.
No, we're not getting him. It's already 5:50. What are we going to say? Hey, what's up? See you later.
That's true.
Well, we'll
next time we have him on, we'll have to ask him. Like now that he's out of the game, what's the dirtiest thing he ever got away with on the field?
Well, I would. If he's willing to admit it, which he generally admits
probably
to anything.
Probably stomp somebody's
for sure.
Hand or
And that's another way that the game has evolved, right? We talk about hockey evolution all the time and stick swinging and line brawls. Football, you know, like Jim Brown. I remember Richard Pryor doing a bit on this. The great Richard Pryor was really close with Jim Brown. And Jim Brown's old saying used to be, everything on the outside of my mask is yours. So, in other words, he knew they were going to be ripping at him, stomping him, biting his hands, you know, trying to do some bad things. But anything on the inside of the mask was his. So he admitted, like, he'd bite guys' fingers and stuff like that.
Really?
Because they were taking liberties with him. You know, and especially back then, too, like he pointed out, Jim Brown's talked about this, like when black players were first integrated into the sport, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about that. The first black players playing in the NFL, there were some white racists on the other side of that line
who were
like, I'm going to get you, and I am going to do horrible things because my hatred isn't just because you're on the other team.
Yeah. That's
like, that's scary stuff that would have been happening back, like, in the 60s and stuff.
I think, at a different level NFL, but we look sometimes back at old hockey games, like, they're stick swinging. Like, if you watch a 70s game and a fight breaks out, like, or just watch the amount of penalties you would call in some of those games, like the slashing, cross-checking, like not just hooking.
Oh, absurd. Absurd.
And the fights were old-school fights, too. There wasn't much defense in those. Those were
And the refs wouldn't get in.
No.
Like, we were talking about Wendell's highlight a couple of weeks ago. He'd have a guy down on the ground. The guy's just limp, and he's just
like
throwing bombs off his head.
Some of those videos are cringeworthy, and now
kind of tough to watch, really. All right, I've got the list of all the running. There's been a lot of running backs. It's almost amazing that no wide receivers ever won an MVP. Like, how did Jerry Rice never win an MVP? Randy Moss. But yeah, Jim Brown won two. O.J. Simpson did win in 73. That was, I believe, when he ran for all those yards. Walter Payton won. Earl Campbell, your boy, in 79.
Earl Campbell.
Marcus Allen, also an O.J. connection. Thurman Thomas won in 91. Emmitt Smith in 93. Like, that's interesting in 93. That was when the Cowboys were at the height, and Michael Irvin was a big part of that. But Aikman was rolling, too, and Emmitt Smith won the MVP. Barry Sanders split an MVP with Brett Favre in 97.
How do you split an MVP?
I guess the votes were tied.
Barry Sanders split with Brett Favre.
I remember that now because Favre has three MVPs in that one year. He split it with Barry Sanders.
So are you counting that as one of his
three? Does he get two and a half?
No, that's one of his three. So Barry Sanders is an MVP winner. I don't think he sits there and says, I have a half MVP.
He's a co-MVP.
Co-MVP. Terrell Davis in 98. Marshall Faulk, not surprisingly, in 2000. Sean Alexander in 05. And LT won in 06. So there's been a lot of running backs who have won MVP. I'm actually surprised that there have been that many. Because there have been defensive players that have won MVP. And then obviously quarterbacks you expect every year. But there is a belief that this weekend may determine. Is it going to be Brady? Is it going to be Antonio Brown?
Jay Cutler.
I don't think Cutler's in the running. Maybe he'll make a late push.
Hey, he's coming off
a big week.
Big week, yeah.
Coming off a great game. Anyway, we'll catch up with Marcellus Wiley next week. Bruce Boudreau is a game-time decision. He may or may not join us around 6:25.
Really?
Well,
he's locked in, but he's locked in a couple of days ago. And
things didn't go well with the...
He hit snooze. And
he hit snooze when Hunt was calling.
He had a little catnap.
It happens. We'll get to our Friday five-pack on TSN's top 25 NHL players of all time. We'll tee up the Leaf game, the Raptor game. Big weekend in the NFL, and Bruce Boudreau will join us coming off a win over the Leafs last night. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.